You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoopsheads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, February 22nd. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. We're back to basketball. Very exciting time in the Bay Area. The Warriors will be facing the Clippers at Oracle tonight before seeing the Oklahoma City Thunder make their way to Oakland on Saturday. So a great way to start off the last third of the season, so to speak. As I said in yesterday's pod, the All-Star break couldn't have come at a better time. The Warriors falling to second, losing more games than they won in the last week, 2 weeks of the season. Guys are banged up, you know. I mean, I'm sure Andre Iguodala went on vacation somewhere. David West is chilling with a pineapple drink. You know, those guys really needed the rest. They deserved it. And the All-Stars in their prime were able to shine on the biggest stage. Well, the second biggest stage. We'll see if they make it back to the finals. But we'll talk about that Clippers matchup in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to go back in time to the series between the Clippers and the Warriors from 2014. That was the last year before the Warriors started to really dominate the league, and it was the first year that Stephen Curry made the All-Star team. So it's been 5 years, guys. Stephen Curry is on his fifth All-Star now, and that series changed everything. And then the third segment, we're going to go around the NBA with some really tough stories. Kawhi Leonard not able to likely come back this season, according to Greg Popovich. There's some other stuff going on around the league, so we'll take a look at all of that. I want to make sure that you all know this podcast is available on iOS, Android, and Google Play. I guess Google Play and Android are the same thing, aren't they? As well as Spotify and LockedOnWarriors.com. So make sure you bookmark that page. You can find us on Facebook at Locked On Warriors, and make sure you check out Locked On NBA Net as well. Locked On NBA is going to be coming to you 5 days a week now with a synopsis from local experts on the biggest stories. You can also find me on Twitter at Koji Tare, KOGITARE. I also tweet from Locked On Dubs. Make sure you follow that for every podcast every day. You can get in touch with me via email if you just want to chop it up about hoops, you have questions about the show, you want to see a certain segment, you want to hear about certain topics, hit me up. AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. That's A-L-I-K-O Carter 11 at gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. In case you weren't on the hook yesterday, I had Sergen Kumas from Turkish outlet Trend Basket. He is their Sixers staff writer, so he lives in Philadelphia, grew up watching the Sixers, and just loves that team to death. And we talked Sixers, we talked Warriors, we talked All-Stars. Yesterday was a great show, so check it out if you haven't already. Today, let's get right into the Clippers, who are in the playoff spot. So, you know, they're no slouches, even though they really just have Lou Williams and DeAndre Jordan, but they're playing extremely well for Doc Rivers right this second. Austin Rivers is healthy. Danilo Gallinari is making noise. Milos Teodosic is fitting right in. And the team is gelling. You know, call it what you will, they're gelling. Before the break, they won 7 of their last 9 games, including wins over the Pelicans, the Pistons, and the Celtics. The Celtics are floundering right now. The Pelicans, obviously, without Cousins. But those are good wins. And the Pistons, you know, beating his former, beating Blake in his new colors, which are decidedly similar to the old colors. But I guess that's not, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about. The Clippers are playing particularly well right now. A couple of, you know, nice wins. 10-point win over the Celtics, a 13-point win over the Brooklyn Nets, a loss to the Sixers. You know, that's a tough matchup. The Sixers are a tough out, but a nice 13-point win over the Pistons. And, you know, these victories, they're coming for the most part, not easily, but they're not struggling to the very end. A tough win over the Dallas Mavericks on February 5th, 104-101. But for the most part, they're a little bit more comfortable in this. Is a team that maybe had some addition by subtraction. You know, losing Blake Griffin may have unstunk up the place. And, you know, I don't want to say that because you don't want to blame a guy for an entire atmosphere. But I think maybe Blake, Doc, and Austin couldn't all be on the same team together. You know, I mean, Austin Rivers has a reputation and Doc loves his son. And, you know, Blake was famous for making fun of Austin Rivers in that one, you know, segment that went viral, the video that went viral. That was pretty funny and also a little apt. The dude is, he is almost like a new version of Rondo, just a little bit too big for his britches, you know, but he happens to be Doc's son. So it's even more, you know, it's more tolerable to him, him being Doc, and less tolerable to us, that is. But Lou Williams leading the Clippers in scoring and will be fresh off of what he feels is an all-star snub. So you, especially for his home team Clippers, and he has also played for the Lakers, you know, he would have just been staying in Los Angeles. And, you know, having all the festivities around him couldn't have been enjoyable for him. But, you know, he scored 50 points the last time they played the Warriors. So expect the Warriors to come with a little bit of discipline to try to lock him down early. Klay Thompson and, you know, even Steph, you know, staying low, being a pest, but not a gambler, and making sure that you keep the offense honest and don't yield open shots that get players going, especially Lou Williams. So it should be a really good game. The Warriors will be without Pat McCaw for the next few weeks. He fractured a bone in his wrist. He has injuries in both wrists, from what I heard, and playing on five straight days clearly was the answer for his game, but it wasn't the answer for his body. So he's going to be on the shelf at least until the middle of March. And Jordan Bell, still no word on the ankle inflammation. You know, has it gone down yet? It is now getting into the latter part of February, so we should be hearing word over the next few days. No significant injuries to report on the Clippers side. The Warriors are getting ready for DJ, and we're going to take a break. And we're back, and we're going back in time to a different time for the Warriors. A Warriors team on the cusp of greatness. A Warriors team that had recently added Andre Iguodala, who defected from the Denver Nuggets to come and play in Silicon Valley, and a time when Stephen Curry was ascendant. It was extremely exciting. But Draymond Green still wasn't starting. David Lee was the starter. Different time. I don't talk much about David Lee. Nobody talks much about David Lee, and I think that says something about David Lee. But I do love what he brought to the team in his 4+ years with us, though $80 million. Woof. Lots of money. And now he's retired and married to, or about to get married, to recently crowned Australian Open champion Caroline Wozniacki. So good for David Lee for getting out while he still could, taking his millions and millions of dollars. Apparently he was rich already before he joined the NBA, taking his millions of dollars and going down under and celebrating his fiance's first major win. Good for the happy couple. This matchup was also Mark Jackson's swan song with the Warriors, and there had been a lot of stories, and oh man, I was irate for most of the season at the stunted offense that we were putting out there, as we, you know, still had a top 10 defense, and, you know, for the most part, we're winning games, won 46 games that season and made it to the sixth seed, 51 games that season and made it to the sixth seed. And by the time the playoffs were rolling around, the players were ailing, people were tired. You know, we got potentially some of the best of Steph in this series, but no Andrew Bogut, which kind of like ignited something, you know, special. And that special thing was Draymond Green. But not only that, just kind of a pace and a spirit, and a next man up mentality that it made it a really hard fought series, you know, and still to this day is one of the series that Chris Paul looks back on and looks back on a game 7 and Blake Griffin, you know, and say, you know, we beat the Warriors in that series. That was a great series for us. And they were the favored party in that whole process. So, you know, even now, the Warriors were more than a pest, less than a champion at that time, but more than a nuisance. And I encourage everyone to go on YouTube and check out those highlights if you haven't watched them recently. This was, like I said, an ascension. You know, this is the not only kind of the birth of Draymond, but also a little bit of the death of David Lee and Stephen Curry's post All-Star christening coming out party. You know, it was also a tough series between rivals who hate each other. And that in and of itself is just high entertainment value. The game plan for Steph was sound, but this was just still a year before his first MVP season when he averaged 24 points a game. He averaged 23 points a game in these playoffs, and an additional 16.4 from Klay Thompson, who hadn't become the Klay God that we know and worship, you know, that came out for that Game 6 against the Oklahoma City Thunder in 2016. But 13.9 points for David Lee and 9.1 rebounds, along with 2.6 assists for the whole series, you know, he was making a lot of money, and that's unfortunate. But also, it's been a long time since we've seen this Andre Iguodala, 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 4.4 assists, you know, every single game starting. And Draymond Green, starting to fill the stat sheet, only 2.9 assists, but 11.9 points and 8.9 rebounds for the series. Very, very, influx Warriors team here, a team that was clinging to the old ways but was bursting from its chrysalis to, like, you know, be something new. And all it took was, you know, a completely new coach who knew how to draw plays on offense for a team that had two of the best three-point shooters ever, and for David Lee to go down with an injury, and Draymond Green to take his rightful place as a starting power forward. And then also Harrison Barnes coming back into the starting lineup really created a synergy that carried over throughout the rest of that 2015 season. But here in 2014, the Clippers were very good. They were a very good team this year, this year being 2014. They were 57-25. They finished first in the Pacific. They were right up there at the top of the league in the, the West was just a gauntlet. 51 wins in the sixth seed. Are you kidding me? But 57 wins. It's the best the Clippers have ever been. The best they've ever been. It's that simple. And they were supposed to win the series against the Warriors, and they did. And seven games without Andrew Bogut, and, you know, they were proud of themselves. They were patting themselves on the back. But there was a bubbling in Oakland, a bubbling under Oracle that was beginning to you know, really spew and ignite. And I think the Clippers felt it in 2014. I definitely think they felt it. I think they felt they dodged a bullet. And then, of course, lost to Kevin Durant's Thunder. That was the year he won the MVP award. And that was a second-round matchup, lost 2-4. Great, great matchup there, too. Also definitely worth a look on YouTube. Really quickly, before we go back to the Warriors and around the NBA, I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. Podcasts are where it's at right now. It's where innovators advertise their products. And Locked On Warriors provides a connected male audience. So if you're interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, look no further than the Locked On Warriors podcast. Definitely get in touch with me. Send me an email, alikocarter11@gmail.com. I'll give you all the details. And we're back, and I want to talk to you about the Warriors first and foremost, just because I haven't had a chance to really wrap my head around Patrick McCaw's injury yet. You know, I'm not one to dole blame or anything like that. I think that's a conversation that doesn't need to be had anywhere. But I do think about the impact of not having him for such a long and extended period of time. I think that he's going to be missed. I think that his perimeter defense is going to be missed. I think that his poise is going to be missed. That for the most part, he really doesn't make mistakes when he's handling the ball. And the ball is in his hands a lot when he's on the court. He's walking the ball up the court. He's initiating plays. He's cutting. And he's, you know, he's calm. I just really appreciate his presence on the court. And I think the Warriors do as well. He's not one of our high turnover guys, even though he's, when he's on the court, like I said, a usage guy. He does it, not always ending in shots, but he's holding the ball. He's dribbling the ball. He's moving the ball through the offense. And it's just too bad that he got injured right as he was really starting to find his groove, as he was really getting geared up for the stretch run. But maybe that means his legs are going to be fresh. I just hope that these wrist ailments don't affect his shot. He was shooting quite well from three, especially this season. Not a slouch, just not taking a lot of them, you know, just not really spending a lot of time behind the arc waiting to spot up. But yeah, I just wanted to touch on Patrick McCaw just a little bit. Without him and Jordan Bell, we've lost a little bit of our spark plugs, you know, just guys who are young, who ignite the bench whenever they do anything good. You know, obviously Steph can ignite the bench, but Steph is Steph, you know, that's his job. They really, really love, you know, just pumping up those young guys. And so it's going to be on Kevon Looney to go out there and play well for the next few weeks and represent the young guys. All right, now I want to talk about another KL, Kawhi Leonard. And, you know, he is actually apparently keeping himself out. He shut himself down, according to my little Bleacher Report notice. The news comes from Waj. Of course it comes from Waj. So he is opting to remain out. This is an interesting, this quad injury, this is really just, you know, a special kind of injury, along with the Markelle Fultz injury, just one of those confusing ones where you just don't really understand what's happening. And I'm not going to pretend like I understand what's happening. But if Kawhi Leonard thinks that he needs to opt out of the rest of the season to heal his body, then I think that's the best decision for him, especially with the Spurs playing so well. And they're used to keeping their guys out. I mean, they don't risk their guys. They have been a winning organization for two decades because they don't risk their guys. And they're still third in the Western Conference, you know, right behind the Warriors. And that says something about Pop. It says something about LaMarcus Aldridge, who I got a chance to talk with briefly in Los Angeles over the weekend. And, you know, he's loving his time. And, you know, he said it's really tough to have all these injuries, to have people out and stuff like that. But he's just trying to keep his head up, just trying to do everything day in and day out, or just like day by day, that is, to get wins and stay in the Western Conference playoff race and you know, kind of make noise. And right now, that's the second round matchup against the Warriors, is the San Antonio Spurs, and it's going to be a challenge. You know, if that is the way that the playoffs shake out, the Spurs are a tough out. You know, the West is it's a tough out. It's a really tough out. According to Waj at ESPN, this situation is creating a rift between Kawhi and the rest of the team, though, which is, it's something that is just so un-Spursian to me. Do they think he's faking? Do they have any say over what he does with his body or doesn't do with his body? I mean, the man is worth, you know, to the city of San Antonio, let's be honest, $40, $50 million a year. You know, I mean, maybe not that much. That's LeBron money. But the guy is the San Antonio Spurs. You want him to be able to play like he's ready to play. But apparently, it's straining his relationship. This is, you know, ESPN sources. You know, it's a tough job to be a sports journalist. And it's a tough job to be a basketball player. You know, we tend to trust Watch, and that's why he's the NBA sage. That's why everybody has him on speed dial. But it's straining the relationship with the franchise and the coaching staff. Apparently, Leonard is distant and disconnected from the organization. So, you know, but that just seems to me like Leonard is a distant and disconnected guy. Like, he's not that guy, you know. Obviously Timmy wasn't exactly, you know, Mr. Gregarious, but, you know, R.C. Buford, to his credit, denied everything. And I'm waiting to see what Greg Popovich says, because, you know, the second they get a camera in front of him, they're going to ask him that question. He's going to, you know, laugh it off or whatever. I don't think they have a problem. you know, honestly. But I don't know. And Waj's report allows us to speculate. A little bit of other news. The Cleveland Cavaliers have signed Marcus Thornton to a 10-day contract. You know, I guess got to fill out the roster. And it has not been a good week for Mark Cuban. First, the Me Too movement found its way into the Dallas Mavericks, with the Mavericks president coming under fire for being an alleged serial harasser of women. And then he was just fined $600,000 for saying it's probably best for the Dallas Mavericks to tank. That is a ton of money. $600,000. Jesus Christ. You really can't tamper. You can't talk about this. You can't do it. The NBA will crack down on you. 600. What could... Sorry, I'm getting a little bent out of shape here over that gargantuan sum of money. But I hope that they put it toward a good cause. I'm going to look into it and see. This is the end of our road for the day. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll be recapping the game against the Clippers, previewing the game against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and of course going down the Reddit hole. So stay tuned, Hoopsheads, and stay thoughtful.